Good day, and welcome to the Cigna Autism Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Kristen Markson. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Vicki. Welcome, and thank you for calling into Cigna's Autism Awareness Series. My name is Kristen Markson, and I'm the lead clinician for the autism team at Cigna. Due to the format of this call, you will not be able to ask questions during the teleconference. However, at the end of this conference, you will be transferred into a brief 5-question survey in which we are requesting your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After the survey, you will be able to ask questions on today's presentation. A handout for today's seminar is available online at www.cigna.com/autism. Scroll to the current topic section in the middle of your page and click on today's topic labeled Back to School and Back on Schedule. Please note that not all policies cover today's topic. For more specific information, if your policy covers topics discussed in today's seminar, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Tara Cessna. She is a board-certified assistant behavior analyst and has been working with children with special needs for over 13 years. She specializes in working with individuals on the autism spectrum with severe, aggressive, and self-injurious behaviors. Tara is a former classroom teacher and is currently the co-founder and behavioral services coordinator for the Treasure Coast Autism Project, a private nonprofit school for children on the autism spectrum. Tara is also the assistant clinical director for Positive Behavior Supports Corporation, an agency serving individuals with disabilities and severe behavior challenges. Tara, thank you for being here today. You are welcome to start your presentation.
Great. Thank you so much, Kristen. And thank you, parents and caregivers, for joining today. I am really excited to be asked to present on such a topic. Being a former classroom teacher and also a mother, I see the great importance for highlighting success for our students and their families, especially those first days of school. So I'm really excited to be here to present on the topic of getting back to school and back on schedule. I know that the beginning of the school year can be stressful for not just our children, but also for us as parents. When speaking with families, it seems that the greatest concern they have is whether or not they have made the correct educational decision for their child. Meaning, is my child in a program that can foster their needs and unique learning styles? Will my child be safe? Will my child make friends? And so importantly, will my child be happy? Please know that no program is perfect, and whatever decision you have made is the right one, so I encourage you to commit to it. Our child's success the first weeks of school is greatly affected by our attitudes. We want to make sure that if we have doubts and uncertainties for the school or the teacher, that we do our best not to allow these feelings to trickle down to our child. It is our job to highlight the positives of going back to school and getting our children excited about learning again. So let's look at some first step tips for success. These include, in no order of importance, supplies, understanding, calendars and pictures, consistency, establishing reinforcers, social stories, and schedules and routines. Let's discuss these in greater depth. I will be going over these topics out of sequence from the PowerPoint to allow for a better flow of information, but all of the necessary content will be discussed. I hope that is okay for everyone. Because I will hit upon the topic of reinforcement throughout the presentation, I wanted to explain what a reinforcer is and how we can use a reinforcer to help our child be successful. In the simplest terms, a reinforcer is anything that increases behavior. A reinforcer can be a sticker, praise, sleep, elimination of a loud sound, food, a stretch or a long blink. Everything we do for one of three reasons. To get something, a paycheck or a date. For example, we go to work to get paid. We take care of our appearance, some of us, to get a date. Another reason we do what we do is to get out of something. For example, homework or the sound of our alarm. We would tell our teacher that our dog ate our homework or tell our parents that we forgot our book so that we don't have to complete our assignment. We hit the buzzer on our alarm clock to stop the annoying sound of our alarm in the morning. And the third reason is because it feels good. For example, scratching our leg or stretching when we first wake up. We do this simply because it feels good to do so. So keep this in mind. When we talk about strategies today to help your child be successful, think about all the things you do each day and why you do them. What is your buy-in? What is the buy-in for your child? So let's look at first supplies. Supplies are everything and anything that your child needs to be successful. If your child is limited verbally and uses an augmentative device such as an iPad to speak or a picture exchange communication system such as PECS, please be sure to include this with them each and every day. Remember that this is their voice, and without it, they cannot be successful. Stress to the classroom teacher that your child uses these devices to communicate and that they should not be left in their book bag. They must have them on their desk, very accessible, so that they can get their wants and needs expressed. Be sure to request a school supply list from the school or teacher. We want to ensure that we have everything our child may need to be successful and prepared. Recruit your child to assist with choosing their items. The more involved we can get our kiddos, the greater the chances for their wanting to participate. Having their favorite character items or supplies will get them excited about school. If they have a favorite item, such as a stuffed animal or toy car, try to buy two of them, one for home and one for school, so they may carry it along with them if the school allows. And there will be no worry about the child forgetting to bring it home each day or the teacher forgetting to pack it. For those kiddos that have a difficult time within the community and aren't able to necessarily shop for items with you, a good idea is for you to go alone and take pictures of those items you think your child might like and have them choose from the picture. Or you can shop online. That's a great way as well. Go on the internet and find items that you might want to purchase for your child and let them choose. Give them choice. Create a student strengths and interests and medical concerns list. It is so important that we highlight what our children find motivating and reinforcing. Remember, if a teacher cannot motivate, a teacher cannot teach. Let's take the guesswork out of this for the teachers and let them know beforehand what it is that our child enjoys or enjoys doing. Hopefully, these teachers will be prepared with some of these items and activities for our child the very first day. Equally important are any medical concerns that you have for your child. These include the medications and those medication side effects. Examples of this could be overheating or shortness of breath. We want to make sure that we list any disorders that our children have, such as seizure disorder, epilepsy, severe anxiety, or oversensitivities to sights, sounds, and textures. Be sure to include any events that your child to demonstrate or signal distress, such as making a request to lie down during the beginning of a seizure. This is very important for the teacher and the staff to be aware of. What can the teacher do to help your child to self-soothe during times of distress and discomfort? Ask your teacher or school if they have a crisis management plan. Be a part of that management plan and make sure that all staff members working with your child understand. I would also ask that if your child has severe difficulties with any disorders, allow the teacher to give you a heads up if they're going to be out for the day and another substitute may be in, making sure that you have contact with that individual so they understand the medical concerns for your child. Gather needed food and snack items and have them ready the first day of school. If your child is on a special diet, be sure the teaching staff is aware of this. They will need to prepare the environment so that your child does not accidentally grab an item from another child's plate that doesn't have the same sensitivities. Chances are there will be several children with similar dietary restrictions, and these children can be sat together during lunch or snack time. Create a communication photo book to show your students and child's strengths and interests. This is a great resource, especially for those kiddos that are limited verbally and want to make friends. By having a communication notebook, and this is simply a photo book or a scrapbook with pictures, and maybe some small phrases such as, my outing with Grandma and Grandpa to Disney, or me and my cousin Sheila in the pool. This oftentimes also helps to alleviate some stress for our child as it includes so many of their favorite activities and people and items. The child is able to share their interests with peers and teachers just by pointing or turning the pages of their book, and this really helps them to highlight their strengths and interests and build peer relationships. Another way to lessen our child's frustration and anxiety when going back to school is for us to be understanding. This can often be difficult when we are in the moment of trying to get our family out of the door for their day, but remember to show patience to the best of your ability. Remember to present information at your child's level of understanding. Give only one or two word directives to assist your child when getting ready. Be sure to speak clearly and gain your child's attention by saying their name before giving them a direction. For example, Johnny, go have a seat at the table. I would reference the table by pointing, standing near it, making sure you call Johnny's name and then tell him what he should be doing. Use pictures along with your verbal comments so your child can better understand what is being asked of them. Remember that individuals on the autism spectrum are so visually motivated. They really learn best, even though they understand what we're saying. That visual cue helps them to gain understanding so much quicker. Google Images and Clip Art are really great for this, and they're free. You can print them and have them laminated. You can go to Office Depot or Staples of some sort, or you can even simply take tape to keep the pictures to help them last longer. Remember also to be empathetic to sensitivities that our children may have with different textures, sights, and sounds. It may be very difficult for some of us to understand why our child cries or tantrums when they have to put on a certain item of clothing, especially when we see our other children doing it without any issue. But remember that some children truly have sensitivities far beyond what we have ever experienced, so be patient and show understanding. One way to assist with setting expectations for our children is through the use of calendars and pictures. To do this, create a visual schedule with all the activities your child will have to do before school. There is an example of visual schedules on page 12 in the PowerPoint. Such pictures for your child could include brushing their teeth, eating breakfast, washing their face, getting dressed, etc. For those kiddos that love to ham it up in front of the camera, take real-world pictures of them performing these activities and use those to help with their visual schedule. They really enjoy looking at themselves and following along this way. Allow for your child to choose the order in which they will complete the activities. For example, Johnny, what should we do first today? Should we have breakfast or brush our teeth? Allow them to have those choices. There's going to be a list of things that we have to get done in the morning. But take that list and allow for your child to choose the order in which they do them. If they choose to get dressed before eating, and we know they're messy eaters, that's fine. They're not going to be perfect every day, but it is going to allow them to have the buy-in and ownership and ultimately allow for more success. Visual schedules can be shown in a full day or in a single activity. Vertical picture charts place the pictures in order from top to bottom. The child can simply remove the picture once it's complete. They can cross it off the list. They can put a check mark. Be creative here. Flip card picture charts are another way, and they have only one picture on each card, which your child will flip after each task is completed. Horizontal picture charts show pictures or activities in the order from left to right. All of these strategies are all set to promote reading. There's really no right or wrong here. It's based on your preference and your child's preference of how you set up your visual schedule, but be sure to do it either top to bottom or left to right. Another way to get your child set up for success is to be sure to lay out clothes the night before and all other materials. Allow for your child to make a choice in what they're going to wear. I would recommend presenting them with only a choice of two items so they're not too overwhelmed. For example, you can hold up two shirts and say, "Which one do you want to wear tomorrow, Johnny?" If your child has to wear a uniform, give them a choice of their underwear or their socks. This, again, gives them ownership and more control. Be sure to wash new clothes many times and cut all tags if your child has sensitivities here. If your child has never had to wear a collared shirt in the past but must wear one for school, have them start wearing one over the summertime and praise them and reinforce them for doing so. Make getting dressed and ready in the morning fun for your child. One game to play is Beat the Clock. This is where you lay out your visual schedule and everything that has to be done in the morning. It could also be broken down by certain activities throughout the morning. Tell your child how long they will have to complete the activity or activities and then set the timer. An example of this would be an activity related, brushing their teeth. Okay, Johnny, let's look at all that we have to do when we brush our teeth. Our visual schedule shows that we're going to put our toothpaste on our toothbrush. We're going to hold our toothbrush under the tap water. Then we're going to brush our teeth. We're going to spit our toothpaste into the sink. And then we'll rinse our mouth and smile. We have 10 minutes to do this. I know you can do it. Let's beat the clock. Once the timer goes off, if your child has completed the activity, provide them with praise or a reinforcer. This must be something they really like. If you have two or more children, they can race against each other. All kiddos who complete the activities before the timer goes off get a reinforcer. For any child that doesn't complete their activities in a timely manner, or for those children that are having some difficulties, we can have them use a more time token or card. This is something that they can turn in to earn extra time on the timer and allow for them to still be successful and receive that reinforcement. Remember to set the timer for success. We don't want this game to be too stressful. If this type of game would make your child anxious, come up with something else that they will enjoy doing that keeps them on track in the morning. Another way to do this is to gain pictures of the school, classroom, and teacher if possible. Create a picture book for your child called My School. In this, it should include anything that you feel is important regarding the school that you want your child to know. This could include the name of the school's mascot, your child's teacher with his or her name, your child's classroom number or hallway, any peers that you may know that will be in the child's class. Include pictures also of how they will get to school. For example, in mommy's car or on the bus. If they're riding a bus, be sure to also include pictures of the bus stop and the school bus number as well. What this is a type of social story. Social stories were developed by Carol Gray in the early 90s. Social stories positively state the desired response in social situations. They include everything our child should say or do. The social story is written at our child's comprehension level and are easily readable. The social story should be comprised of short, direct sentences or phrases stated positively. And remember here, we always want to state what the child should be doing as opposed to what they shouldn't be doing. The social stories contain descriptive, directive, and perspective sentences, such as, I will remember to take my seat quietly. Instead of, when I get to the classroom, I will not scream. Typically, only one concept should be written per page. Illustrations are not recommended as they can be misrepresented or draw focus away from the sentences, but photographs can sometimes be helpful. Social stories should have flexibility, so avoid using words like always or never. Social stories titles may be stated as a question. Let's look at an example here. The title, What Do I Do on the First Day of School? Page 1. Tomorrow is the first day of school, and I am very excited to meet my new friends. Here you could include one picture of your child, maybe on their first day of school last year, or you can use a cartoon picture off of different images. Page 2. Mommy will drive me to school. I will walk to class and say hi to my teacher. Here you can include a picture of mommy's car or a car, and you can also show a picture of a kiddo waving hello. Page 3. When I get to class, I will put my book bag in my cubby and find my seat. Page 4. I will remember to use my listening ears and quiet mouth. I will raise my hand to ask a question. Notice how the social story is stated everything that the child should be doing, as opposed to what they shouldn't be doing. It's also stated in their phrase. Just like with visual schedules, social stories are intended to assist our child in understanding those expectations and learn pro-social and desired behaviors. Another way to set expectations is by creating a calendar to show the days the child will be in or start school. Allow your child to place an X or a check mark and begin counting down the days until they start school again. If your child has certain after-school therapies, it may be good to include a picture of the therapist or the center that they attend in places across the calendar so your child knows the activities they will do each day of the week. These visual supports all help to create expectations and set the stage for consistency. It is so important that we create consistency for our children. Be sure to create only those routines that work for the family and stick with them to the best of your ability. If you have begun working on having your child eat at the table or dress themselves, and you know it will take a little bit longer, start your routine earlier. Try not to deviate from the teaching strategies you are working on when school starts. Allow time for mistakes to be made. So often I see parents deviate from the goals that have been established to help their child become more independent because, as they say, we don't have enough time in the morning. Do your best to think about the skills that you are teaching your child and the time it takes for them to complete. Try your best to allow for them to continue learning these skills during school mornings. It will take longer in the beginning, but it will allow for your child to learn the skills sooner, more consistently, and it will increase their opportunities for success. Remember to follow reinforcement strategies and teaching procedures. If you have been working at having your child ask for items appropriately, stick with that. Try not to give in because of time constraints or out of frustration. If we only stick with our teaching plan for part of the time and not all of the time, it will take so much longer for our child to truly learn these new skills. Model for your child the behavior you want to see in them. If they want to eat cereal for breakfast and kick and scream because you've presented eggs, look them in the eye and say, "I didn't want eggs. I wanted cereal." Have them repeat this using a calm voice. Do not allow for them to have cereal until they do. Just keep modeling the behavior here. Remember to be calm and speak in a matter-of-fact voice. "I understand that you want cereal. How do we ask nicely?" Remember, for those children that are unable to ask verbally, you can do other things, such as have them sign, hand a picture, use their augmentative device, or make verbal approximations to get the items that they want. One way to assist with sticking to our teaching plan is by establishing reinforcers. Reinforcers, as I have stated, are items and activities that your child really enjoys and seeks out. Use these favorite items and activities to your advantage. If your child has a favorite food or favorite toy, do not allow for them to have free access to it all day long. Use this to your benefit to capture those teachable moments. If you know your child is going to have a difficult time getting dressed, tell your child, "First we get dressed, then we get to use our iPad." I would recommend using what we call a first-then board. On the left-hand side of the board, across the top, is the word "first." On the right-hand side, across the top, is the word "then." Under the word "first" is a picture, or words, of the activity that your child must do before getting access to a toy or a food item. Under the word "next" is a picture of what your child would like to play with or access. A small dry erase board is great for this, or a clipboard with Velcro to place the pictures on. Remember that this is not a visual schedule. We do not put pictures under the word "first" of a non-preferred activity, such as getting dressed, with another picture of a non-preferred activity, such as brushing their teeth, under the word "next." This should only show what the child has to do first to get what the child wants next. An example would look like, "First, brush teeth. Next," or "then, iPad." That is it. That is enough to motivate the child to understand what they need to do to get what they want. Also, we can create what we call mystery motivators. A great way to do this is to go to the dollar store and pick up some items that your child may enjoy. Some examples could be bubbles, spinning toys, bouncy balls, light-up items, etc. Place them in a brown paper bag where your child can't see them. Each day, after your child is ready to walk out the door, let them know how well they did getting ready for school and allow for them to reach their hand into the bag and grab a new toy for the ride. This is a good strategy, too, to place in the car if you have a difficult time getting your child to transition from the house to the car. To get your child excited about this, Tell them the night before that you have a special surprise for them that they can have as soon as they are all ready for their school day. I've done this many times, and I've recycled out so many toys, and yet my kiddos are still so excited every time they reach their hand in that bag and grab something out. So you don't have to continue to buy toys. Remember, recycling is good. We want to think outside the box. Oftentimes, our children are most motivated by spending time with us or just seeing or hearing us. One way to do this is to record our voice on their iPad or another device. And when they do well, they can hit the button to hear our voice saying, "Great job, Billy." This can be brought to the school, so the teacher can use it to help motivate them as well. Another good reinforcer for use within the classroom is to cut a picture of a favorite person, place, or activity into pieces, just like a puzzle. Each time the student answers correctly, they get to earn a piece of this picture. Once they gain all the pieces of the picture, they get to earn that item. If it's a picture of their parent, then maybe they can actually call in to mommy or daddy and check in with them to tell them about their day. The most important thing to remember is that our children are not yet intrinsically motivated to learn. They must have reinforcement to assist with their buy-in. Let's think of it from our child's perspective. We expect them to get ready for school and complete all of these non-preferred tasks, to wear clothing that doesn't feel right, to be shipped off to some place without their favorite item, without their favorite people, where a bunch of demands will be placed on them. It's very hard for them to do. I encourage you all to do the legwork now to prepare the needed and necessary materials that will allow for the first day back to school to be successful days. Gather any photos that are needed. Create social stories and communication notebooks. Gather timers, first then boards, strengths and interests, and medications list for the teacher. And most importantly, find items and activities that are motivating for your child. Remember that we are the weather in our home. If we are stormy, our children will follow suit. As parents, we cannot get these days back, and our children are growing up so fast. Try to be present in the moment with them each day. Allow for mistakes to be made, as no one is perfect, and take each day as it comes. Learn from mistakes. Create consistency. Be understanding. Find the activities and items that are important to your child and think outside the box. With this, you will be sure to set the stage for success. Thank you all. Let's take some time for questions.
To help us evaluate and approve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in the survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. At this time, we will conduct a brief survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Question number one. This session provided me with education on strategies to assist in getting children back to school. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. Press star 4 for strongly disagree. We'll pause for a moment. Question number two. This session informed me on how to create social stories to assist my child. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. Press star 4 for strongly disagree. We'll pause for a moment. Question number three. Overall, this session met my expectations. Press star 1 for strongly agree. Press star 2 for agree. Press star 3 for disagree. Press star 4 for strongly disagree. We'll pause for just a moment. Question number 4. I would recommend this program to others. Press star 1 if you agree. Press star 2 if you do not agree. Question number 5. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with autism. Press star 1 if I am the parent of a child with autism. Press star 2 if I am a family member of a child with autism. Press star 3 if other. We'll pause for a moment. Thank you for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you would like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program, or if you have any questions on today's topic, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on the phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions.
Hello, this is Pam. Thank you. Hello, this is Pam. I would like to tell you that I enjoyed your series. I thought it was very well done. The one thing is my daughter has Asperger's, but she's 28, and a lot of these things I did when she was younger, but now that she's older, I've kind of forgotten about them, and I think it brought it back to focus that I should probably start doing some of these things again to help her routine for getting to work and doing things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pam.
We'll go to our next question.
Hi, my name is Laurie. And I wanted to kind of ask a question about, I have a 7-year-old who has autism. He is getting ready to go back to school. He also gets ABA therapy in the home. And I have trouble with, and I try to do the first, then technique as you stated.
Yes.
But then how do I prevent him from having a meltdown? Like, sometimes I think he just feels so overwhelmed with different information that he just kind of starts breaking down and not able to complete the task at all. And then he'll just start asking, you know, he learned how to say in school, help me, I need help please, you know, and then he won't try to do it.
Okay, well, just know that I don't know your child, so I'm just going to say blanket strategies that we would do.
Sure.
First, I would look at what are the demands that are being placed on him that are causing him to melt down. We want to look first. Is he melting down? There's probably two reasons. One, he's trying to get escape from that demand.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably something that he either doesn't want to do or it's just too difficult for him to do. And also, we then think about he may have an attention function here as well, because when he starts melting down, everybody's coming over, hey, here's mommy, it's okay, what's the matter, I'll help you. So we start having a little attention component in there as well. So I would, number one, start looking at what are those demands that are being placed. Is it every demand? Is it those demands when he's being transferred from a preferred activity, such as, okay, buddy, it's time to get off the computer, we got to do our homework. Is it something of that nature where he doesn't want to transition? We want to look at the times of day, too. This can tell us a lot. Sometimes later on in the day, it's harder for them because they're getting tired, especially those 7-year-olds. They've had long days, or maybe right after school. If it's around dinner time, we want to make sure that they're not hungry and they're not tired.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to look at, number one, look at those factors. If we're presenting the demands and he's got the first and then and he's still just melting down, it's too much for him, if it's possible, I would break the tasks down into smaller, teachable things. So let's say we're working on having him set the table, just as an example. Rather than having him set the whole table, it's first we put napkins down and then we get a break. Good job. You look at the napkins. That's awesome. Next, We bring the silverware over, and then we get a break. So I would break it down into smaller teachable components, and then we slowly expand it as we see, you've got this, you're being silly, I know you can complete this, come on, buddy, we can do it. So fading in, what we call thinning the schedule for him.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the factors that are really affecting and contributing to him melting down.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank
sense?
You so much.
Yes, it does.
Sure.
A lot of sense.
Once again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. As a final reminder, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We'll go to our next question. Hello, caller. Your line is open. Please check your mute function.
I'm sorry. I had a question. My son is autistic. He's 11. He had a lot of trouble last year riding the bus to and from school. It would seem that he, I guess in the mornings, but mostly in the evenings on the way home, he gets very excitable, wants to be, just wants to have obnoxious behavior. He picks up the kids in front of him. He picks up all the kids around him. He's even, tried to take an empty seat belt and hit people with it. So the bus driver's had a lot of problems. Do you have any suggestions on what I could do to help him
sure.
be more?
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
The bus is so difficult because it's so unstructured. If you think about it, it's so much sensory overload. The buses, number one, are very loud just in themselves. And then you've got all the kiddos talking and playing and just being kids. If it's only the one bus driver, that's really very difficult. Are there any aides on the bus with him?
There wasn't because normally there hadn't been any trouble on the bus. He didn't really even start this until the last 3 or 4 months of school. But
okay.
His teacher herself had been riding the last couple of weeks with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure that they're probably going to start the year out this year with probably just the one bus driver.
What I would first say, I assume your child has an IEP, is that correct?
Yes, he's in a life skills class.
Okay, I would talk, number one, about including transportation in his IEP to see if
okay.
you can get somebody more permanently in the beginning to assist with this because we really have to set him up for success here.
Okay.
For you as a parent, I would set up expectations for what behaviors he needs to have on the bus. It's safe hands, it's quiet mouth, feet to myself, whatever it may be, you're going to go over this with him. I would create a social story for what I do when I'm on the bus. I would also give him items and activities to engage in that's going to occupy his time. Right now, it sounds like he's very attention-seeking. I would talk to the bus driver about being able to place your child maybe right behind or the seat very close to the bus driver so that they could talk or that he can get, reinforcement. If the bus driver's okay, I would encourage the bus driver, hey, maybe every 2 to 3 minutes you look back and say, I love the way you're sitting, buddy, high five, or whatever he can do to acknowledge the good behavior of your child. You as a parent, what you can do is start encouraging reinforcement strategies in the home for him. So going over the social story, going over his rules on the bus, and if you get a good report from his bus driver, he gets to earn something, whatever it may be, that you think he'll really like. Or you may even do what we call a response cost. Okay, buddy, we know we didn't do good on the bus, and this is how we get to school, so we're not going to get to have iPad until after dinner today, or we don't get it at all today. But I know tomorrow you can do a good job, so let's follow our rules, and then tomorrow we'll work for that iPad. So really contrive his favorite motivating items to be contingent on good behavior on the bus. But certainly talk to the team about getting somebody in there. That transportation should be part of his IEP if he's having difficulties.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Once again, that is star 1 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. We have no further questions in our queue, so I turn the call back over to our speaker, Kristen Martson, for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Tara, for providing such wonderful insights. Again, if you have questions about therapies discussed today, please contact the autism team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Autism Awareness Seminar on September 11th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, when we will be discussing effective strategies for helping children learn social skills. Thank you and have a great day.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.